Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's how quickly our lives can change and with little warning. So with a timely guide, given the year that we've all lived through, in his new book, Embracing Change, GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry shows us how not only to cope with change, but to learn from it and to benefit from it. And Harry joins me now. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Claire.
Congratulations
lovely.
On the book.
Thanks
to
very
have
much,
my, Claire. My hands
great,
here.
Great to have it out there.
We always talk about different mental health issues on the
yes.
programme when you're with us here, but what prompted you to write a book on this topic, on embracing change specifically?
Yeah, it was very interesting, Claire, because I was commissioned to write this book, believe it or not, just before the pandemic hit, and then
right.
bang, in came COVID. I think it is that, you know, believe it or not, Claire, in next month I will be 45 years qualified as a GP or as a doctor and 40 years as a GP.
Okay.
So I have 40 years of experience. Mm-hmm. So I had all this experience, and over the years, I've been really fascinated by how change really affects us so much. And I had all this experience of what I call transitional change. So I worked with countless people who really allowed me the privilege of sharing with them, walking through, you know, decades where all these periods of life, these great periods of change, pre-COVID, do you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And I kind of always noticed that they caused so much incredible emotion distress. And I was kind of very, we can't change very often the situation, but we can change the distress that the person
yeah,
is feeling.
Yeah, and what happens yes. as a result and how we react to it. But not all change is trauma and traumatic.
No. A lot of change is good, and I deal with that in the book as well,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes, for example, maybe out of this pandemic, some people may lose their jobs in some areas, but actually see great opportunities and open up in something else and go off and maybe do something that fulfills them a lot better. Big changes in the pandemic will obviously be blended learning or blended working, where we'll be able to spend more time with our families and things. So change can be positive. But I was really interested, though, in the emotional effect of change. And I think these transitional periods are really important, because I tried to pick 20 key periods of our lives. And I went from adolescence all the way right through to old age and bereavement, mm-hmm. etc. And for example, these areas would be things like going to college, the menopause, breaking up of relationships, becoming a new parent, having a miscarriage, loneliness for the first time, retirement, losing your job, the arrival of mental illness, breast cancer, the arrival of breast cancer in your life, terminal illness, aging, the awful situation, you know, that people find themselves with aging that nobody ever really talks about, and the world of dementia. So I tried to take all of these scenarios. This is what I call real life. This is the things that happen to people, even in the middle of COVID. I can tell you, even in the middle of all of this pandemic and all the rest of it, people are still getting diagnosed of breast cancer today and all
of course,
different types
yeah.
of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
People are still struggling with coping with somebody with dementia. People are having relationship breaks. All these things are happening.
And going through bereavement
during a very
difficult time.
And going through a terrible bereavement time.
Which we've spoken about.
My idea really was...
I just wanted to ask you about change, right?
Yeah,
you know, we hear this all the time. Oh, don't like change. Oh, that person doesn't like change.
Yeah.
None of us really like change,
no,
do we?
No, we hate change. If we're honest with ourselves, all of us, we love the status quo. And there's practical reasons for that. The brain loves the status quo, for starters, because it uses too much energy for the brain's point of view if it has to change. And let's face it, we're all pretty emotionally set in our ways. Do you know what I mean? We like things mm-hmm. a certain kind of way. We don't like the but in reality, change is coming to all of us. And we're all going to have to face it, whether we like it or not. And, you know, some of us will, maybe very few of us will escape through this pandemic without experiencing some kind of pain or loss or difficulty. All of our lives will be fundamentally changed.
So we need to build our resilience.
And the only way we can build resilience, in my opinion, is have some kind of blueprint, some kind of little technique that we can use when something comes up that throws us. When change comes, it's often sudden and it often blows our minds. We'll take some simple examples
yeah.
of that now and that in a minute. But just to explain to people that I took a thing called pragmatism, which is I have a great belief in pragmatism. Pragmatism is the shortcut. We can go on all day long, or we can find simple, practical, honest to God
solutions.
We
like shortcuts.
You ask a farmer down the country and he'll tell you the pragmatism pragmatic way to deal with a situation. So I kind of wanted to take the similar. So I based it on solid CBT kind of ideas. And Blind Boy, for example, last night made a really practical statement. He said, I can't change the situation of the pandemic, for example, but I can change how I view it.
Yes.
So pragmatism is very much about how could I change my thinking about this particular situation that's going on in my life so that I can make, so I feel less emotionally distressed and therefore find some way of managing it.
Okay.
I think the whole purpose, the whole issue of the menopause, for example, has been a massive issue recently.
Among, yeah, Joe Duffy and, and Liveline, the they've been covering that in great
hidden,
detail. Yeah.
The great hidden change in people's lives. But there are many, many examples. So would you take for this?
What I'm going to ask you before we get to the examples is, why do we find change so difficult? Because you've outlined how the brain doesn't like it, wants the status quo. Will you give us some more detail on that? What is it about change that turns us off as a
okay,
you know,
because, well, the biggest thing about change is that change will require us to alter, to adapt. And we don't like that because that takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, you know, it takes effort to change our thinking. It takes effort to change our behaviour. And really the big thing that we don't realise is that we become emotionally distressed. And these negative emotions, I think it's worth detailing them out.
Yes.
For example, we become very anxious. Some people get very anxious with change. Some people get incredibly frustrated. Some people get very down. Some people get incredibly ashamed. We'll deal later with stigma. Some people get very hurt by change. Some people get very sad and regret. And I think this pandemic is going to open up a world of sadness and regret. You mark my words, before this is over, there will be a huge outpouring of sadness and a huge outpouring of regret. All the things that we could have done. Because regret
beating ourselves up.
Up over this. And, you know, the great thing about this is we're not doomed to feel distressed. We can change that. The secret is using pragmatism to identify which emotion is affecting you, because all of us will be affected differently. You might be anxious about it. I might be depressed about it. Somebody else might be ashamed about it.
And somebody else might be delighted.
You know,
somebody
else might
deal very well with change.
So we're all
change.
Very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's important is then, if it is a negative emotion like anxiety or shame or hurt, we have to look at the thinking blocks behind that. What is it pragmatically that's blocking me in my thinking that's making me feel anxious? For example, am I catastrophizing all the time? Am I looking for absolute certainty all the time? If I'm feeling down as a new mother, am I comparing myself all the time to other mothers? Am I downing myself? Am I rating myself? You know, am I playing the rating game? Shame would be, am I allowing other people to rate me? You know, am I living in that world where other people will decide how I view life? So I took many, many examples of
I see them here.
Life.
You have, as you said, going to college, menopause, breakup of a long-term relationship, becoming a new parent, loneliness, retirement, loss of a job, mental illness, arrival of cancer in your life, aging, terminal illness and death. And you detail just a pragmatic approach to help us deal with change.
And that's only half them, by the way. That's
you mentioned menopause there. Yeah. Maybe we might use that as our example and talk to us about the pragmatic ways to deal with that.
Right. Well, the first thing about the menopause is many, you have to look at the emotions. Many women are very anxious about it. Many women are very depressed about it. Many women are very ashamed about it. There's a shame attached to it. So if we look at all the issues associated with the menopause, there's all the physical changes, which women, you know, and which women will very quickly kind of, you know, many women will put on weight. Many people will feel areas like the vaginal areas will get very dry. They'll feel their skin quality, their hair quality. Many women will say to you, I don't feel, you know, physically like I used to. I feel lesser.
Mm-hmm.
So they start to feel a bit down because they're feeling lesser.
Well, women post-menopause will say, some women will say, I've disappeared as a woman. I'm no longer
absolutely
seen.
Absolutely. I love that line because many, many women have said to me over the years, I feel invisible now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't longer count. And there's also that sense of loss that I won't have children any longer. Do you know, those changes. The fact that, am I as attractive to my partner? Do you know what I mean? What about the flushes? I never get any sleep. So there's all this anxiety. And when will this ever stop? Will it go on forever? So I nearly start to catastrophize and it becomes worse and worse and worse in my mind. I spend an awful lot of time rating myself. I feel a bit ashamed in relation to how other people will view me. I feel more invisible. You know, so all these factors. So the pragmatic approach would be starting to analyze which of these emotions, I could be very frustrated by it. Do you know what I mean? So if I can analyze which of the emotions is affecting affecting me, not somebody else, which is affecting me. For example, if I'm very anxious about it, well, then a lot of the time my behaviour when I'm anxious is I avoid. So instead of going to maybe a female GP who I can trust, you know, I can open up and honestly say, look, I'm feeling crap. I feel terrible. I mean, my mood is down. I've got all these physical changes. I'm sweating. I can't sleep. I feel awful. My life is miserable. And the female GP will say, welcome to the world of the menopause. Do you know what I mean? Now, what are we going to do? Because the pragmatist is, what can I actually do to help? So instead of hiding away, avoiding it, not talking about it, not dealing with it, you go pell-mell into pragmatically trying to solve the solution.
So, what you're trying to do is give people the key to unlock the pragmatism.
Exactly.
So to be able to take the steps to deal with those. Don't just accept the negative emotions, deal with them.
Exactly.
You have this 5-point blueprint for life to help us deal with change. Can you take us through that?
This is a lovely thing. It's based on CBT and pragmatism, and it's such a simple thing. You identify the main emotion that's bothering you. What is this change bringing in you? Suppose you're a young mother and you're bringing home a baby for the first time. What's my emotion? After all the excitement and everything is all over and everybody's gone, I feel down. I feel down. So they identify what is it about that's making me feel down. Well, it's because I feel I'm not handling this as well. The baby's screaming, she's shouting, it's roaring. I don't know what to do. I feel lost. And yet I look at all these other mothers out there and they seem to be coping great. What's wrong with me? So I start to feel down. So what's happening there is I'm beginning to rate myself or allowing versus other people. And then what am I thinking is preventing me? I'm actually playing the rating game. I'm actually assuming that I as a human being can be rated instead of saying, look, I'm a young mother, I have no skills. You're not born with a stamp there saying parenting skills in this hit that
slot. The baby doesn't come with instructions.
I'm struggling, and the first critical thing is to accept that every other mother is struggling equally as you. If they're not being straight and honest with you, then forget about it, because they're all struggling in the same way. So what in my behaviour is, well, maybe I'm hiding away, maybe I'm not looking for help, maybe I'm not, you know, being up front with my partner. Maybe I'm not seeking help, you know, from parents or mum.
So what in your behaviour is preventing you from dealing with this problem?
What's stopping you dealing with? And the commonest thing that's stopping you is that you're rating, you're playing the rating game. So once I stop, look, I'm a beautiful person myself. I'm a young mother. I'm doing my very best. You know, I give myself a tap in the, I'm kind to myself. And that changes immediately. And then what my behaviour? Well, then I'm going to go looking for other mothers who are in the same boat. Do you know, and let's all together try and help each other out of this. And of course, that's a completely different approach. That's a pragmatic approach. Instead of going down the tunnel, which might lead to postnatal depression, where I slide down that slope because I keep, you know, I'm not getting enough sleep and I'm rating myself. And
see, that's why I'm thinking with this particular example, it's very hard to think logically through all of those steps when you're exhausted and you don't trust what you're feeling.
Yes.
You don't, because you think, I'm so tired here that I think I'm just doing this wrong, but I don't know if I've assessed that properly because I'm so tired.
But the great thing is, I think by writing it down like this, by taking, you know, 5 or 10 minutes and going through this, it'll tell me where the problems are. Very quickly.
Do you recommend that, writing everything down?
I do. Oh, I'm a huge fan. Get it out of your emotion head, Claire, because we have a rational brain and an emotional brain. Our emotional brain is so much powerful that our emotional brain just absolutely overwhelms us. When we write something down, we start to see where the problems are. And very quickly, you know, I'm a great believer, if you keep looking for solutions, you find solutions. But if it's going on in your head, it's only a problem. So all I can see are the problems. If I'm a young mother like that, instead of saying, no, what are the solutions for me, you know, and very quickly those solutions would become. And if you need help to do that, go and find either a good GP, a therapist, or a good friend, or even, let's be blunt about it, what are your mums there for? Do you know what I mean? They're like, mums and grandmothers and granddads have gone through this. They have the wisdom. So, you know, feed into
find
that
someone
wisdom,
you can talk to. I want to ask you as well about one of the most difficult changes many people will experience is the death of a loved one. Do you have any advice, Harry, on how to cope a little better with that?
I think the first pragmatic thing about it is that this is all about loss. And loss, aging, for example, is all about loss. You know, You know, all the things as we get older, we're losing all the time. We're losing our physical attributes. We're losing our eyesight, our hearing. We're losing our cognitive ability. We're not as quick. And we start to lose our friends and we start to lose our loved ones. And the biggest one of all, I think, is when we lose the person we love. Do you know what I mean? That person, that special person in your life. How can you... the first thing is the pragmatic thing is there's no easy way to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And there's no kind of nice fairy tale ending to this one. Do you know what I mean? Because if you've lost somebody you love. So I think it's learning to be kind to yourself and accept that it's going to take a long, long time to cope with the sadness, the waves of sadness and crying. And if you feel, as I often keep saying, if when everybody's gone and the door is shut and everybody's and it's quiet, and you're crying because you miss this person, well, cry and scream and shout and give out and get up every day and have a conversation with the person. You're not going mad. You just love this person and it's your way of staying close to them. And over time, gradually, over a long, long period of time, the grief never goes away. You just get better at coping with it. But the thing that you can manage is the change. Because when somebody close to us goes, our whole lives change. Your whole social world changes, your domestic world changes. And I think that's where you can apply your blueprint a little bit more and try and look for assistance, you know, in coping with those domestic and social changes.
Harry, it's lovely to talk to you as always. The best of luck with the book. Harry's book, Embracing Change, How to Build Resilience and Make Change Work for You. It's out now and it's published by Orion. A great read, and it just takes you through step by step how to manage all of these big life changes, which all of us are going to go through at one point or another. Harry, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks very much for coming in.
Lovely to see you again, Claire. God bless now. Bye. Bye.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.